I walked through the bookshelves to a door in the back wall. While it wasn't precisely hidden, the door had no frame and was set flush with the wall around it, and was covered with the same paneling as the wall. Once it had opened to allow customers to slip into a private area to drink illegal booze. Now it was locked. I used box key to open it and let myself into the back of the store. The rear area wasn't large, nothing more than a single room with an office built into one corner and a pair of long bookshelves set behind a heavy iron grill on the wall opposite. The room was full of boxes, shelves, tables, where Bach would keep his spare inventory, if any, and where he handled his mail order business. There were a couple of safety lights glowing on outlets on the walls. The office door was partly open, and the light was on. I heard the office radio playing quietly on a classic rock station. I went to the door set in the iron grill and unlocked it, then rolled open the cage door. Bach kept all his valuable texts in the cage. He had an original first printing of Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll, autographed, on the highest shelf, carefully sealed in plastic, and several dozen other rare books, some of them even more valuable. The remaining shelves were filled with serious texts on magic theory. A lot of them were almost as occluded with opinion and philosophy as their more modern counterparts on the shelves in the front of the store. The difference was that most of them were written by members of the council at one time or another. There were very few volumes that addressed magic in its most elemental sense, as a pure source of energy, the way I'd been taught about it. One of the notable exceptions was Elementary Magic by Ebenezer McCoy. It was the first book most wizards ever handed an apprentice. It dealt with the nuts and bolts of moving energy around and stressed the need for control and responsibility on behalf of the wizard. Though now that I thought about it, Ebenezer hadn't handed me a copy of the book when he'd been teaching me. He hadn't even lectured me more than a couple of times. He told me what he expected, and then he lived it in front of me. Damned effective teaching method, to my way of thinking. I drew out a copy of his book and stared at it for a moment. My stomach fluttered a little. Of course, he'd been lying to me, too, or at least not telling me the whole truth. And the whole time he'd been teaching me, he'd been under orders from the council to execute me if I wasn't perfectly behaved. I hadn't been perfect. The old man didn't kill me, but he didn't trust me enough to come clean, either. He didn't tell me that he was in charge of dirty jobs for the council, that he was their wet works man, the one who broke the laws of magic with their blessing, who betrayed the same responsibility he wrote about, talked about, and had apparently lived. "He was trying to protect you, Harry," I told myself. That didn't make it right. "He never tried to be your hero, your role model. You did that." That didn't change a damn thing. "He never wanted to hurt you. He had the best intentions. And the road to hell is paved with them. You need to get over it. You need to forgive him." I slammed the book back onto the shelf, hard. "Hello?" called a woman's voice from behind me. I nearly jumped out of my skin. My staff clattered to the ground, and when I spun around, my shield bracelet was up and spitting sparks, and my .44 was in my right hand, pointing at the office. She was young, mid-20s at most. She was dressed in a long wool skirt, a turtleneck, and a cardigan sweater, all in colors of gray. She had hair of medium brown, held up into a bun with a pair of pencils, wore glasses, and had a heart-shaped face that was more attractive than beautiful, her features soft and appealing. She had a smudge mark of ink on her chin and on the fingers of her right hand, and she wore a name tag that had the store logo at the top and, "Hi, my name is Sheila," below it.
"Oh,"
she said, and stiffened, becoming very pale.
"Oh, just take what you want. I won't do anything."
I let out my breath between my teeth and slowly lowered the gun. For crying out loud, I'd nearly started shooting. Tense much, Harry? I let go of the energy running through the shield bracelet, and it dimmed as well. "Excuse me, miss," I said as politely as I could manage. "You startled me." She blinked at me for a second, confusion on her features.
"Oh,"
she said then,
"you aren't robbing the store?"
"No," I said.
That's good.
She put a hand to her chest, breathing a little quickly. It had to be a fairly generous chest, given that I could notice the curves of her breasts, even through the cardigan. Ah, trusty libido. Even when I am up to my ears in trouble, you are there to distract me from such trivial matters as survival.
Oh, then you're a customer, I suppose. May I help you?
I was just looking for a book, I said.
Well, she said with businesslike cheer, flick on that lamp next to you, to begin with, and we'll find what you're looking for.
I did, and Sheila smoothed her skirts and walked over to me. She was average height, maybe 5'6", which made her approximately a foot shorter than me. She paused as she got closer and peered up at me.
You're him, she said. You're Harry Dresden.
That's what the IRS keeps telling me, I said.
Wow,
she said, her eyes bright. She had very dark eyes that went well with skin like cream, and as she got closer, I saw that her outfit did a lot to conceal some pleasant curves. She wasn't going to be modeling bikinis anywhere, but she looked like she'd be very pleasant to curl up with on a cold night. Man, I needed to date more or something. I rubbed at my eyes and got my mind back on business.
I've wanted to meet you, she said, ever since I came to Chicago.
You new in town? I haven't seen you here before.
6 months, she said. 5, working here.
Bach works you pretty late, I said. She nodded and brushed a curl of hair away from her cheek, leaving a smudge of dark ink on it.
End of the month. I'm doing books and inventory.
Then she looked stricken and said,
Oh, I didn't even introduce myself.
Sheila, I guessed. She stared at me for a second, then flushed and said,
Oh, right, the name tag.
I stuck out my hand. I'm Harry. She shook my hand. Her grip was firm, soft, warm, and tingled with the energy of someone who had some kind of minor talent to practice.